This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Bart and Han, 98.7 ESPN. I knew Anthony was going here. Because he did play Yes, Yes yesterday as we were talking Islanders. And DiPietro came on. And so he did play that song and the goal song and everything like that. That's great. So because we are going to talk Rangers here with Rangers coach David Quinn in a moment, he's going to play their goal song, which is fine. We will not hear that goal song, of course, until the season starts back up again. They were in the qualifying round and did not advance to the playoff round. But it's amazing that even though they did lose, they still come out winners, and this rebuild that they've been going through, pretty quick turnaround, now we'll have a number one overall pick. And Coach Quinn joins us right now. Quinny, thanks for giving us a few minutes. I'll tell you what, you've had a few days now to decompress from the qualifying round and get out of the bubble. And so when you now reflect and see what your team, and it's still a very young team, went through and how they performed, what do you come away from now with what has been obviously a very weird season for you?
Yeah, it's been strange. The one thing, I'm a lot less pissed than I was when we left Toronto. I'll tell you that after getting the number one pick. It did take a lot of the sting away from what happened up in Toronto. But, you know, it's a unique time for everybody, in particular in sports, because, you know, when the season ended on March 11th, we felt really good about the direction we were going. We felt we were playing really good hockey for about 3 months. Felt we were in a good position to make the playoffs. Then you get the break, and we come back, and, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, the great unknown for everybody was how to handle, you know, going into the bubble and how to train and whatnot. And, you know, I was really, and we all were shocked about how we played, how poorly we played up in the bubble. And there's an awful lot of things that kind of happened that maybe we weren't prepared for. But at the end of the day, nobody cares. I mean, you got to go up there and you got to get it done. And it was just disappointing. But you don't want 3 weeks, especially under those circumstances, to taint the whole season. You need to keep it in perspective, and you need to take into account where you're at when you're evaluating your team and where you're at as an organization. You take it all into account.
You know, nobody likes to hear this when they're going through it, but I always think about some of the teams that first time. And the Golden State Warriors, you know, had to get their ass kicked. You know, like everybody had to have that moment when you're young and you go, oh, that's what it's about. And I remember you saying you didn't like after the scrimmage with the Islanders, you didn't like the compete level. I remember you talking about that. And then you said, we didn't come here to get incrementally better, right? Yeah, that was your other line. So yeah. With that in mind, as you said now, you did get the number one pick, so you feel a bit better. But can this be that painful learning experience that then carries over to when you do get back on the ice again? Guys like, you know, whether it's Kapo, whether it's even Shesterkin, a lot of your young players, Fox, they can now say, like, I remember what that was like, playing a veteran Hurricanes team that had gone to a conference final that has a system that is really hard to play against. Now we kind of understand that in game one, we can't, this is not a feel-out game. This is a go-get-it game.
Yeah, I think both of you guys understand that. I mean, when you play at a high level, I mean, you know, your coaches and the organization can talk about playoff situations and, you know, the things it takes to be successful in those scenarios. And, you know, sometimes the only teacher is failure. And, you know, now all of a sudden the series ends. And I think a lot of our guys are like, oh, okay, that's what they were talking about. Even though they might have believed us when you're talking about what they're about to entail, you know, maybe to their core they didn't. And they thought they were going to be able to do certain things in the playoffs that they were able to do in the regular season. That's just not the case. And you watch these NHL playoff games and it's different hockey. And, you know, we really think we've got the makeup to be able to be successful in these playoffs. But sometimes you got to fall flat on your face and get your asses kicked. And that's what happened to us. And talking to all our players and where we're at, we feel like our group, because all the things we didn't show up in Toronto, we had shown during the year. We were in great shape. We were one of the best third period teams in the league. We were mentally tough. We were resilient. And we were none of that up in Toronto. And so, you know, it is, you got to be those things in a little bit different manner when you get in the playoffs. But I think we've got enough of it where guys can realize, okay, there's a different way to approach those areas and those characteristics when you get into the playoffs.
We're talking with David Quinn, coach of the Rangers. They did win the lottery, so they do have the number one pick. Who they pick, I mean, there's everybody's debating who that's going to be, and I know that's not your decision, obviously. No. And I know Jeff and I know JD have already talked about that on the airwaves. But you did coach in the bubble, and this is we talked. You said it. It's a different experience, and I'm curious, just first and foremost, just from your experience, based on that environment of not just the training camp, but when you all went as a group up to Toronto and all those protocols and everything that went with it. Now that you're out of that and you're watching the games now from here, is it surreal? And do you feel like, and as we know, there's zero positives still as they keep testing. Do you feel like, you know what, this was the best way to do it and this is really working? Because it does seem like it's working.
I'll tell you, the league has done an incredible, I don't think the league gets enough credit for what they've done to allow this to happen and allow it to happen successfully. I mean, it is as thorough a job as I think you could possibly do under these circumstances. Every player and every person up there feels safe. They feel comfortable. So hockey becomes the main objective when you're up there, which is really what the league wants, because now you're going to have a better product when everybody's just dialed in about the hockey end of it. And the league has done, I mean, if you want a blueprint on how to handle a crazy situation, I think the NHL has done a phenomenal job. And I'm not just kissing anybody's ass. I'm just, yeah. I'm telling you, and the numbers speak. You know, support that. You know,
I laughed yesterday's game that they had to move to 11 a.m. And anybody that's a hockey dad knows this, and you might even remember, it's like, you know, they're up in Marlboro playing on dirty ice.
Yeah, exactly.
Puck, exactly. Nobody in the building. Like, is there something that you'll always remember? Was there a surreal moment for you, just being there and feeling like this is so not. And maybe that also is something your team went through, is that it didn't feel like, you know, a real NHL game because it's an empty building and the only cheers you hear are from your own bench.
You know, ours, from the drop of the puck, ours felt like a playoff game because the very first shift, you know, Jesper Fast gets creamed in the neutral zone. You know, they go up 1-0. Strom gets in a fight two shifts later. I mean, you know, our series got off to a entertaining and high-intensity start. So we never felt like we weren't in a playoff series. But I will say, coming onto the bench for the exhibition game with the Islanders, there was an eerie feeling when nobody's in the stands and you can hear absolutely everything. I mean, from a you know, coach to player conversation to a referee to player conversation. I mean, you could hear everything. So, but once the hockey started, it was it really felt in a lot of ways just, you know, like a normal game, because you're just so enthralled in what your responsibilities are as a coach, and the players you know, are obviously focused on what they have to do. So, you know, maybe the highs aren't as high and the lows aren't as low because of the fact that there's no crowd. But, you know, once you got into it, it didn't feel much different once you got going.
Does it create maybe a little more of a communal feeling with the team? Like, because it's sort of like we're all we've got. I don't know if that, like, because, I mean, I thought your game 3 was your best game. Is that fair to say?
100%.
So it did take you time to get to that point, but I imagine without a crowd, and, you know, home ice advantage is a big deal because you do have the momentum of the crowd behind you. You have none of that. So did you feel the bench was even more invested in the game than usual? Was there what was it different? Again, from TV, we have the fake crowd noise and we have all the other stuff going on. I don't even know what it sounds like in the arena, other than what I remember from yesterday's game with the Islanders. When I'm watching that game, you hear the players when they score the goal from the ice. They yell, yeah, which is, you don't hear that normally. But from the ice perspective, was the bench louder because there wasn't a crowd? Did it change at all that way?
Well, two things jump out at me when you bring that up, and you bring up game 3. Okay, so we go up 1-0 and early in the second after playing a great first period. I mean, you know, the first period ends, and as a staff, we're like, okay, there are the Rangers. All right, here we are. We're back. And we really felt, you know, if we were able to gain some momentum and within the game, win a hockey game, it's a whole different series, because we thought we were going to get Fast back for game 4. So we go up 1-0, and, you know, put that game in Madison Square Garden. We go up 1-0, and as excited as we were, our level of excitement would have been even higher, you know, behind a, you know, sold out Madison Square Garden. That's what I'm talking about. The highs weren't able to be as high as you possibly could because of the fact that there was no crowd. And then top that with, they score 3 minutes later and their level of excitement is what it is. And our lows, you know, ended up being lower than probably they normally would because we weren't able to ride that high. And then the end of that second period, we have an incredible flurry where, you know, we think Hedl scores, we've got a breakaway. I mean, and their bench goes through the roof when Reimer makes an incredible save, and our guys were really demoralized. And, you know, 1-1 going in between the second and third period, it actually felt like we were behind just because of the way the series had transpired and the way that second period had ended. And, you know, for a team that was very, very good in the third period, physically and mentally, we didn't have it.
That's an interesting perspective. So with that in mind, as the playoffs now move on, what do you see? Like, because they talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs as it has the most parity of any sport. And I think it's fair to say that you get hot goaltending, you have a chance. Look at Montreal. Like, you always have a chance if you just have a hot goalie or you have the right kind of system. But in this environment, what do you see, and what do you envision can happen in these playoffs, and maybe a team that no one's talking about that you say, you know what, I keep an eye on that team because in this environment, they have a better chance than if it was a normal situation with crowds and everything else?
Well, I think every team, you know, with the home ice advantage, I think in this setting, it really isn't even a more even playing field because you're not going to be able to, you know, you win a road game and you're the underdog. Now you're going home. I mean, your crowd's usually ramped up that, you know, like I said, your highs, you know, you're able to reach it to a level high, but now it's a little bit more of an even playing field. And I think every team going into this tournament under these circumstances felt like they had an opportunity and a chance to win, regardless of what had transpired during the regular season. So, you know, I think every team had hope. And I think that's one of the things we never got within our series. We never felt hopeful because there really wasn't any point in time we felt we were controlling a game other than game three after the first period, you know? So I think, you know, because of these teams that maybe were on the outside looking in, they get a second opportunity and they want to take advantage of it. And you bring up Montreal. Not only did Montreal have great goaltending, as that Pittsburgh series went on, I thought they were playing better, and they, you know, it wasn't just their goalie by the time that series ended. And you watch that game last night, they easily could have won that game. Carter Hart for Philly was outstanding in that second period. So, you know, I think just every team just has more hope in this setting.
Coach, I believe it's pronounced Catahat.
Catahat, that's right. Where I'm from, it is.
and it's also pronounced Lafreniere. And I know that is a front office thing. But when you look at your options now at number one, and I Kapo might have been a guy that really caught my attention more than ever out of your group in the bubble because – you know, I know I talked about this with JD, how you had the season stop in March, you come back and play in late July. For him, it probably felt like his second season already because he just played more comfortably, I thought, with your group. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but you have
100%.
Him still very young. And I mentioned the other young players that you have on this team. Is there a certain type of player? Whether it's, I need more of a playmaker now, or I need, you know, a coach has to have some input on what you're looking for.
Right.
So what are you looking for then as a need for this team?
Well, you know, we need to continue to, you know, as you talked about a lot, and everybody has, I mean, we're literally in continuing building to what we have, where we eventually want to go. And if you look at these playoffs and successful teams, your team's makeup is everything. Your personality, your drive, you compete. And, you know, one thing about Lafreniere, I mean, everybody raves about that aspect of his game on top of being skilled. So, you know, obviously people talk about our center position and our D position, but, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it in your sport and football. And, I mean, as much as you want to be able to, you know, improve a certain position, you have to take the best player. Now, if you need a center and, you know, there's a center and a wing that are even or close, and there's a conversation that maybe, you know, the position comes into play when you make that choice. But at the end of the day, the makeup of the player, what type of, you know, the skill set, those things trump the position. And that's where we're at as an organization.
All right, last thing, and thanks for the time here, is this will be also a weird offseason. And for some teams, it'll be a really short one. I imagine it's going to feel short for you because is training camp November? When is training camp set for you guys?
Yeah, I think everything is really up in the air. I know there are tentative dates where they're looking to start the season in early December, which means training camp would be probably the second week in November. So, you know, that is going to be different. But again, we're all at the mercy of this pandemic, so everything's kind of tentative right now.
Okay, so what is an off-season plan for you? Because this is obviously not a typical off-season either. Normally you're starting it at some point in June. Now you're starting it in August, so it's more fall activities. But what is the plan, though, for the organization as you guys can now go forward looking to the next season?
Yeah, we've been in here, I mean, every day, kind of putting the off-season plans together, certainly narrowing and getting our players dialed in about their training and what expected of them when they come back to training camp. And, you know, this stings still. I'm a little less pissed off than I was when we got back from Toronto, but this stings. And, you know, here we are, you know, a week later, and we want to get going. And, you know, the minute we landed from Toronto, the first day of the next season started, and we've all been dialed in with that approach. Obviously, we will take some time off here, even though during that break you're off, but you're not, because there's always the you're not sure when you're going to play again. So this really is an off season for us. It is shorter. Obviously, as an organization, we're going to continue to talk about how ways to improve our team, like every other team is, and our conditioning aspect from our players. And you know, I will sneak in some fall golf, which I've never had to have a chance to do. So.
Right. Normally, right. Exactly. Normally at this time, you're getting ready for a season. Now you're shutting down from a season, but either way, things obviously looking up. It feels like it's from the outside looking, it feels like this is just only the beginning for the program. And that's gotta be exciting. So you do have that, you do have the number one pick, and that's also exciting, but we do appreciate the time. I love listening to you when you go on with Rick and Chris and Dave and whatnot. So thanks so much for joining us here.
All right, Al. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.